In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. The story of the cleansing of the temple that we just heard is told in all four Gospels. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, it's placed at the very end of the Gospel, the end of Jesus' ministry. And it's the sole event that leads to Jesus' crucifixion. But in the Gospel of John, the cleansing of the temple is at the beginning of the Gospel, the beginning of Jesus' ministry, and it doesn't have anything to do with setting Jesus' crucifixion into motion. Rather, in John's Gospel, the raising of Lazarus is what will lead to Jesus' death. So why does the writer of the Gospel of John move the placement of this story from the end of Christ's ministry to the beginning of his ministry? Well, because John wants us to know from the very get-go who he's writing about and what he is, and he's writing about the incarnate God, the Word made flesh. And he tells us so in the very first sentence of his gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The writer of John wants us to understand in no uncertain terms that when Jesus Christ walks into the temple to observe Passover, it is the very same thing as God Almighty walking into the temple. And Jesus doesn't like what he sees. He doesn't like what the temple has become, which is something akin to kind of a religious version of Walmart. And he gets mad, really, really mad. And who could blame him? The temple was the heartbeat of Judaism. It wasn't just a temple on the corner. The temple was the center of faith, of worship and music, of politics and society, of national celebration and mourning. And it was this eight-day celebration of Passover, the commemoration of the exodus of the Jews from the bondage of Egypt, that has brought the people to the temple in today's gospel. You see, in Jesus' day, as many as 100,000 people made their pilgrimage to the temple in Jerusalem to commemorate the Passover. And it was the custom to offer animal sacrifice as thanksgiving to God for their deliverance from bondage. Now, animal sacrifice wasn't anything new to their customs. It was a tradition that went back long before the time of Abraham. But this custom wasn't what caused Jesus to get angry. It was how animal sacrifice was being handled in the temple. That's what angered Jesus and led him to cleanse the temple. You see, when the Passover tradition of animal fat sacrifice first started, people would offer God a sacrifice of one of their own sheep, their own calves, or their own doves. But as more and more people began making their pilgrimage to the temple for the celebration, bringing their own livestock became rather problematic. So some entrepreneurial guys had the bright idea of selling sacrificial animals in the temple to those who had arrived empty-handed. But there was a catch. You couldn't buy these animals with regular currency, because regular currency bore the image of Caesar, and Jewish law specifically prohibited graven images being brought into the temple, and they considered Caesar to be a graven image. So in order to accommodate the temple law, and at the same time meet the needs of the people who needed to purchase their sacrificial animals, money changers set up booths in the temple, ready to exchange the regular currency for temple currency, for a fee, of course. The temple had become a bazaar, the house of worship, a place of commercial activity. God's house had become a den of thieves instead of a place of prayer. That's what made Jesus furious. He saw the actions of the merchants as the desecration of the worst possible sort and as a mockery made for true spiritual worship. Jesus knew, because of the actions of the temple merchants, that an unnecessary barrier between God and the children of God had been created, and he wanted to eliminate everything and anything that separated God from the people of God. He also wanted to eliminate lining the pockets of the rich at the expense of the poor. So he took matters into his own hands and drove the profiteers out of the temple. Well, as you might imagine, his actions sparked some controversy. The people wanted to know just who Jesus thought he was, and they asked for some kind of sign to show them what it all meant. And his answer was really, really cryptic. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. They thought he was literally going to rebuild the stone structure of the temple in 3 days, which of course is impossible. But Jesus wasn't talking about bricks and mortar. He was talking about his own death, his own resurrection. What he was telling people was this: the old way of ritual sacrifices are over. It's no longer necessary. Instead, it's God who's going to make a sacrifice to us in the person of his only Son. Jesus is the new true temple. He is the Word made flesh, the place where the glory of God has chosen to dwell. The crucified and risen Lord is going to replace the building and its sacrificial system. People are no longer going to need to practice this kind of piety in order to be in right relationship with God. Jesus will be the once offered sacrifice, and a right relationship with God will now be possible because the barrier between God and humanity has been removed forever. Christ will dwell in us, and we in him. That's the promise of the resurrection. As we move through these remaining days of Lent with our hearts pointed toward the new life that awaits us on Easter morning, I invite us all to spend some time in soul searching and house cleaning, asking some questions. What are the money changers in our lives? And what are we doing to eradicate? They may be tangible money changers, and they may be intangible money changers. That's really up to you to discern. How are you going to break down the barriers that continue to separate you from the love of God? How are you allowing Christ to help you cleanse everything that keeps you from a right relationship with God? These aren't easy questions, and they have no easy answers. Might be a little painful to experience this kind of cleaning because you're gonna have to really look into your soul. But what better way is there to continue our journey to the cross than having been cleansed by the one who knows you through and through and will unconditionally love you to the end of the ages? I pray that we will do this so that come Easter morning, we can fully embrace the miracle and the promise that will be freely given to us on that most sacred day. It's worth the effort. It's worth the journey. The price has been paid. Amen.